Jones. Oh, yes! Jermaine Jones! What a cracker from him! USA level!
Dream on, little dreamers. Dream on. Wow. What a incredible and emotional 18 hours it's been in New England. You know, I sat with Brian Bolello, the Revs president, on Saturday night. And I asked him off air, I go, listen, you know, what do we got? We got, you got anything for me for Jermaine Jones? And I was expecting a dejected guy. I really was. I was expecting to hear Chicago's got him. No. Hey, wait and see. Guy seemed confident, and the Revs get it done. So, let's do this the right way, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, joining the Legion in Foxborough, 32-year-old center defensive midfielder. He's played for Frankfurt, Bayer Leverkusen, Blackburn Rovers, Schalke, Besiktas. And now he joins the Revolution, Jermaine Jones, to Foxborough. How you doing? I don't care how it's done. I don't care that MLS had its hands all over it. Their greasy, dirty little grubby hands. We got Jermaine Jones in New England, baby. What an incredible win for the franchise today. I'm Tom Quinlan. We'll have Kyle McCarthy on in a couple minutes. This just came across my screen, and actually, the Kyle McCarthy interview was recorded prior to... We've had news come out left and right. Not only did we have Jermaine Jones get announced, now I'm reading from Brian O'Connell that Jeffrey Castillion, a Dutch striker who's come up through the Ajax system, has just been picked up by the Revs. So, okay, we got a new striker in town, we got a new center defensive mid in town, and what's great is that apparently this the Dutch kid, Jeffrey Castillion, it doesn't sound like that's going to be a designated player type of move from what I'm reading here. I'm looking through reports. Mike Burns told Brian O'Connell, quote, Jeffrey is a big, strong target forward with several years of experience in the Dutch first division. Jeffrey will add a different dynamic to our attack and also gives us more options up front. No kidding. All right, nothing in there that he will take up a designated player slot, so that's a roster slot, not paying over amounts of dollars for it, and he's going to wear Sigurdsson's old number 39. And there you go. Brian O'Connell just put free transfer in there. Very nice. Very nice. Golf clap for that one. Standing ovation for bringing in Jermaine Jones. Again, I can't offer too much on this Jeffrey guy, Castillion. All I'll say is this. Adding more pieces up top for this Revs team is going to be critical because the scoring needs to really allow Jermaine Jones to do what he's expected to come in here and do. And granted, you'll hear today when we talk with Kyle that he's not a well-rounded number six. He presents the physicality of a true number six. He's got, you know, a lot of great qualities that would lead you to believe that he's a center defensive mid, but he's not a complete center defensive mid. And with that being said, you need your forwards to really do their jobs up top. So if you have some breakthroughs down in the defensive pitch, you don't have to worry about the offense getting something done to save you. Hopefully this puts us through another couple of weeks where the Revs are not getting blown out and they're in competitive games. The Revs have played a lot of competitive games this year. Without Jermaine Jones, with Jermaine Jones, it's not going to matter. The system's not going to change. You're going to be in a lot of games. I can count on one hand a handful of games this year the Revs were actually outplayed. I would say, obviously, to start up, it was Houston. They got outplayed against Philadelphia in Philadelphia. They got outplayed by DC at DC the first time in April. Maybe outplayed a little bit back home here against Philadelphia. And then against LA and against Dallas. But those are the only real times you could say this Revs team was outplayed. Now with Jones in there, you're more dangerous. And you want to make sure that you're dangerous in all areas. And you're not relying on one guy. So that's what I have to say about the addition to up top. And then hopefully Diego, Teal, get going again. Because if those guys get going and they get rolling and you get scoring on the outside, I mean, then you're just as dangerous as you were in the beginning of the year. Mike talked about it. Burns talked about it with me a while ago. Consistency is what this team needs to move forward. You're not playing consistent 90 minutes yet, but you're getting there. I think Chivas USA showed you glimpses that they could possibly start getting back to playing full 90 minutes and playing in games where they're not making these unbelievably lackluster mistakes that make you pull your hair out. Now, the structure of the deal when it comes to Jermaine Jones. This is where things get a little bit dicey because I'm not all that sure on really how the hell Jermaine Jones became a Rev. And there are a lot of bitter people out there. I'd say Stephen Goff from the Washington Post. And granted, Stephen Goff is a esteemed writer. A lot of bitter writers out there, though. If you check out his Twitter and see the way people are rapidly reacting to this thing, the diehards of this league, that's a phrase that I heard with Kyle before. They're going to be disappointed, and understandably so. But if it's the overall quality of the league that goes up, who cares? But the deal is this: $4.7 million for a year and 6 months. This is uncharacteristic of the Revs to pay for this type of top dollar. It's probably at the end of it, all said and done, he'll get $5 million. Jermaine Jones will. Is it good enough to get you to the playoffs? Does it matter how he got picked up if it gets you to the playoffs? I don't think it does. But a blind draw led to the selection of Jermaine Jones to New England. I'm a little Yeah. Would the average person be wary about, a blind draw? Coming to the conclusion of where a guy lands to play professionally, sure. People worry about Patrick Ewan getting picked by the New York Knicks back in the 80s. I mean, it's not like Don Garber is the first commissioner to probably fluctuate with drafts. Just look at David Stern's career with the NBA. The NBA turned out pretty good. Jermaine Jones is coming to New England. Overall, good. Will it help to play? Yes. Will the goals come? Yes. More importantly, the defense will be back. This move has to concern defense and the lack of that you've gotten from New England. And also, you got to get a better job of possession. Jermaine Jones brings these qualities. Let's see what happens. It's going to take a while to get this thing going here, folks, but you got him for the rest of the season and still wide open race in the Eastern Conference. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to pull 13 points here and catch DC United, but I'll say this. The Revs could finish in third place by the end of the year. Guarantee it. Guarantee the Revs can finish in third place. I don't know if Toronto's good enough to hang on. Same thing with New York. They've been good offensively, but defensively they've been a little bit weak as well. 36 goals against this year. It's tied for the most of any of the top five teams New York has. So, you know, if New England's getting better defensively, maybe the offense will come here. It's about points. And the Revs, they can put up the points, get the clean sheets. 1-0 wins is all you need in this league. All right, let's jump to the hotline right now. Joining us on the program, Fox Sports' Kyle McCarthy. Kyle, did you see FIFA 15 unveiled all 20 EPL stadiums are going to be in the game this year?
Well, I just heard about that, and that's pretty awesome. I've been known to play FIFA 15 from time to time. I'm enjoying the series, so it'll be fun to see all the stadiums involved in the game.
Yeah, you know, nothing else really going on in the soccer world today, right?
No, it's been quiet. I would say there's been really nothing going on, so.
No. Playoff race heating up, is that getting good this time of year in the MLS?
Yeah, I think that's been getting all right, but I think this Jermaine Jones thing might. Yeah, exactly. Jermaine Jones. it's been a busy couple of days.
All right. Yeah, in all seriousness,
with all this, you know,
landmark move today for the franchise announcing that they got Jermaine Jones. What's your thoughts on the whole thing?
It was a bit messy, certainly, to get this whole thing done. It took a long time, but I think in the end, it's going to be worth it for the Revolution to spend the money and bring in a player like Jermaine Jones. It's a statement of intent from the club after a lot of years of not making this sort of signing to go and bring in a player of his caliber.
You just said it was a little bit messy bringing Jones in. Can you explain the process? And I know it's going to be tough, but can you explain the process in which Jones was allocated?
You know, I think when MLS figures it out, I think they'll let you know. But in general, it was a scenario where MLS didn't want to use any of its existing structures, and they decided to determine his fate by a blind draw. It was basically the flip of a coin between Chicago and New England after they both agreed to meet the asking price. And, you know, in that scenario, the Revs came out on top, and That's kind of how his fate was determined.
It's crazy. But, I mean, now with the signing of Jones, what does this mean for future players who wish to play in MLS?
Well, they have to think at least a little bit about the machinations that are involved. Players who sign with MLS don't have a lot of say in where they end up. I mean, sometimes it can work out in their favor. Other times it doesn't. And this is an issue that has been ongoing for years and years because of the league and its single-entity structure. And it's something that is a complication for players who want to join the league.
So do you think a lot of these players, like a Jermaine Jones, a Michael Bradley, and more speaking internationally, maybe a Jermaine Defoe, Bradley Wright Phillips, do you think a lot of these players, when they first came in, do you think they were hesitant to trust MLS with their future?
Well, Jones certainly was. I think if you look at how long this process took, I think you can see that there was some hesitancy there because there's a lack of control over where your future is. But at the same time, the opportunity to play in MLS is a big deal for a lot of these guys. There's only one top-flight league in America, and that's MLS, and it's a good opportunity for them. So it becomes a balancing act. You look at the terms on the table, you look at some of the options available, and then you try and reach a point where you're comfortable enough with the situation to sign on the dotted line. And Jones got there on Sunday morning, and now he'll be in New England starting on Tuesday.
Moving away from the Jermaine Jones thing for a second, I want to stay with MLS. What do you think the perception is of Don Garber right now with fans today?
Well, it depends on what you mean by fans. I think the diehards
outside of New England, the broad spectrum of things.
Yeah, I think the diehards today are a little disappointed with how things went down. It's more of the same. And that's frustrating to them. But in terms of the wider population, the general soccer fan, I don't think this is the sort of thing that really registers. MLS hasn't reached the point where it permeates the consciousness, where there's that investment in the inner workings of the league. It's something that frustrates the diehards, the people who follow this league week in and week out. But it's not something that, you know, will pop up on PTI, for example. So it's kind of, it really depends on your perspective. And I think there are some really frustrated people in Chicago and some frustrated diehards. But on the whole, I don't know if it's going to have any lasting impact.
So you don't see it affecting maybe negotiations during the new collective bargaining agreement this offseason?
I think player control over destination has always been an important issue for the MLS Players Union. But there are other issues that may take precedence when you look at raising the salary budget, when you look at increasing the level of benefits, altering the travel arrangements. Free agency has always been a big topic for the Players Union. So I don't know if the allocation system would rank high enough on that list, but it does enter into the equation when you look at that, and I'm sure it's something that will be discussed during the upcoming CBA negotiation.
Kyle McCarthy with us, and Kyle, moving back to Jermaine now, with the addition of Jones to the lineup, what tactics do you think we'll see changed from Jay?
Well, it'll be interesting because Jermaine Jones isn't a pure number six, particularly in MLS. He's got a little bit too much talent for that, and he's got a little bit too much desire to push up the field. I see him more as a number eight, the kind of guy who will come back and do his defensive duties, but he's going to want to push forward and really drive the game, and that's going to require a little bit of an adjustment for the Revs because that's not quite the system that they're in right now. So Jermaine Jones is the sort of player where you try and figure out how things are going to work in that central midfield three with him there, and then you move accordingly.
Do you have any immediate concerns with Jones's fitness? I mean, what has his training regimen been post-World Cup?
Well, I would ask Charlie Sheen. I think he might know. I think a guy like Jermaine Jones is going to be fit enough in pretty short order. The World Cup really wasn't that long ago, and he's a guy who generally keeps himself in pretty good shape. So I don't think it's going to be a huge concern. I understand the uneasiness about it given the past couple of months, but I think he'll probably be right back up to where you need him to be within a couple of weeks.
All right, now three important games for New England right out of the gate. Post this whole Jermaine Jones thing, you got Toronto Saturday, Kansas City Wednesday, and then the following Sunday, who would have thought, a visit from Chicago, go figure, right? How tough will this next week and a half be for the Revs during this adjustment period?
It's tricky, certainly, because there are a lot of moving parts involved, because Jermaine Jones, he is not making that amount of money to have a smooth and extended transition in this team. He's going to be expected to produce in pretty short order, and that requires some adjustment from this Revolution team. So it's going to be a matter of trying to figure out how things will work on the fly against good opposition. And when you look at those teams, it's a variety of approaches. When you've got Toronto FC, a team that's very, very good on the counter, plays very directly through midfield. You've got Sporting Kansas City, who's going to press you high from the outset and really try and unsettle you from the start of the game. And then you've got Chicago, another team that likes to play quickly through midfield and try and counter on you. So there are a lot of ideas to weigh, a lot of characteristics to sort of figure out over the next week and a half. And the Reds can't afford to drop a ton of points here because they're in the mix of a very tight Eastern Conference playoff race.
Are they the strongest team outside of Kansas City and D.C., would you say?
I would say Toronto and New York are probably a little bit ahead of the Revs right now. But with Jermaine Jones in the fold, New England's a much stronger outfit, no doubt about it. So it's going to be a matter of how quickly Jones integrates into the side and really stamps his impact on this team. It might take a couple of weeks, but I think the Revs are now in a better position to make the playoffs than they were a couple of days ago.
All right, so you wrote an article at the beginning of the month that saying that it was only a matter of time before this franchise signs a big player. They've done that. With that being said, what is the next step for the New England Revolution?
Well, the next step is and always has been getting a stadium in Boston. I mean, that's the big one. Everything changes with a soccer-specific stadium. I don't know if that's around the corner right now. I think that's still a medium-term project. So for the Revs, it's about right now building around Jermaine Jones and fostering that culture around the team, bringing the team back to the playoffs and really pushing the club forward. And that's got to be the focus at the moment because when you spend the sort of money that the Revs have spent on Jermaine Jones, you need to get results at the end of the day.
How realistic is an MLS Cup push?
I think it's going to depend on how well Jones settles into the side. The cardinal rule in MLS is find a way to get into the playoffs and then see what happens. So if the Revs can get into the postseason, anything's on the table. This is a team with enough talent to put together a run, particularly with Jones there. There are questions about whether they'll be productive enough in the final third in a postseason situation. But when you look at this team now with Jermaine Jones, they've got one of those missing components right in the middle of midfield. So that's an important thing for them, and they'll have to see how things come together over the next couple of months.
Things just got a whole lot more interesting in Foxborough. He's Kyle McCarthy of Fox Sports. Kyle, thanks for the time, man.
Hey, thanks for having me as always.
All right, that does it for today's pod. Stay tuned to my Twitter, @TheQSpotPod, for some up-to-date news. Going to try to do something with this Jermaine Jones news tomorrow. We're supposed to have some Gunners talk on the pod as well, so just stay tuned to my Twitter. We'll keep you updated with everything. It's been an amazing day here in New England, that's for sure. Landmark day, or a historic day. Jermaine Jones, welcome, welcome, welcome to New England, buddy. That's another edition of the pod. I'm Tom Quinlan. We'll see you next time.